Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hope you had a great Labor Day weekend, a long holiday weekend, 3 days off. You're probably a little groggy getting back into the work week here on this Tuesday, but we'll bring that excitement for you live on Football Full Circle on the Sports Grid Radio Network because Joe Lisi is here. I am Ben Stevens, and Lisi, sometimes it's hard after a long holiday weekend to rev up the engine once again. But what's cool about a long holiday weekend is your next work week is a shorter one. And what's even cooler about this week, Joe, is we're just 2 days away from the start of the 2022 NFL regular season. A Thursday night at Super Bowl 56 site back in Los Angeles, SoFi Stadium, where the Super Bowl 57 favorites take on the reigning champs in the LA Rams. So, Joe, although Labor Day has come and passed, and the unofficial end of summer is now here, the unofficial start of fall is upon us, it's not a bad thing. Because fall means football, and we have a ton of football to discuss on today's show.
Oh, this is what it's all about, right? Take that game Thursday night between the Bills and Rams. The AFC, the Bills are the team to beat. They're the front runners to potentially win the Super Bowl. But if you want to win the Super Bowl and you have your eye on the prize, you got to knock off the defending Super Bowl champs. And Matt Stafford and the LA Rams are already 2.5-point favorites on the road Thursday night. And maybe I'm a little bit partial, but those games in terms of college football this weekend.
Come on.
Five straight days and nights of college football didn't get any better. I'm sorry. Those games went down to the wire. Instant classics in Baton Rouge, New Orleans, and throughout the weekend in East Carolina. I mean, unbelievable matchups. The matchup in Boone between North Carolina and Appalachian State. If you don't love college football, baby, I don't know what to tell you. You need your head examined because those games in week number one were unbelievable in terms of what we witnessed this past weekend.
I don't know, Joe. Obviously, a lot of times we feel the gravity of the moment, but I'm not sure we have seen five consecutive straight days of college football better than what we just saw. With how crazy it got, with how wild it was from the very start of the backyard brawl on Thursday, the ending of LSU and Florida State on Sunday night, the first full Saturday slate in college football, Iowa won a football game, Joe, where their offense scored 3 points, their defense scored 4 points, they ended with 7 in total, and they didn't even score a single touchdown. It was incredible theater the entirety of the weekend. And that's where we'll start in college football. We'll look at the NFL the next couple of days here, previewing that week one slate. But let's start, Joe, in college football. And I think we have to start last night with the final game of the weekend on your Labor Day Monday evening. Number 4 Clemson gets its groove back slightly with a 41-10 win over Georgia Tech. But Joe, the same questions we had about Clemson at the end of last season still were on display last night, and that was the lack of offense at times and maybe some QB concerns with DJ Uiagalelei, who last night got the start, of course, for Clemson and threw for over 200 yards, had a rushing touchdown as well as his one passing score, but it wasn't like the offense was on full tilt. What did you make of Clemson last night?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of expected, right? I think a lot of people forget that obviously Tony Elliott moved on to become the head coach of Virginia, even though he was the OC the past couple of years. That offense was inconsistent, gave way to former Tiger quarterback Brandon Streeter. You know, coordinators need to get into a rhythm. I'm a big believer in this, and I sort of expected that early on. You know, even though there was optimism, DJU lost some weight and he was focused, you still have a new coordinator there that has to understand, hey, how does that talent respond in game situations? I have to call a game plan around that talent, and then I might be a little bit more aggressive or less conservative in terms of certain situations. But as the game progressed, as DJU and the offense had short fields, Clemson was able to capitalize and score points. Now, when Clemson did come in, he goes right down the field. The game was in doubt at that particular point, and they wind up covering the number in a complete domination of Georgia Tech. Yeah. Let's not forget, They own G-Tech in terms of the series. They had won seven straight by 27.1 points per game. You got to figure that Georgia Tech comes out to play in the first half being a conference game, and Jeff Collins basically on life support, 9-25 overall in terms of his coaching record heading into that matchup. So I'd say let's just, you know, I wasn't overly impressed. They were pedestrian. Right. I agree with you, but sort of expected. And with the actual environment, I think we look to obviously pass the Furman game and look more towards week three and four as to what Clemson really is as in terms of an ACC contender.
Listen, I didn't think DJ Uiagalelei was all that bad, Joe. Frankly, I don't think Uiagalelei was that bad in terms of what we expect out of DJU right now. Threw for over 200 yards, 19-32, did fumble the ball once, and you could tell the offensive system there, Joe, was a little bit conservative in their play calling with DJU. However, that defense, as we expect it to be, the second best scoring defensive unit from a season ago, is going to be that good once again. We'll continue breaking down college football up next here on Football Full Circle. A full review of week number one, now officially in the books. Come back and join us here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Recapping week number one of college football, the first full weekend slate of the year in 2022. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. Thank you for joining us here on Football Full Circle. So, Joe, we were discussing Clemson last night, the fourth-ranked team in the country, winning its opener against Georgia Tech 41-10. The Tigers cover as a 24.5-point favorite. The total, because of that late Cade Klubnik touchdown, pushes us to an over of 50.5. But one under we did see, Joe. Georgia Tech's team total, it was 13.5. Last year, one of my favorite bets for all the CFB season was Georgia's opponent team total under. Insert whatever team you would like. That Georgia defense was so good, the scoring would be incredibly limited on the other side. That's how I feel about Clemson this year, Joe, and we saw that also on full display yesterday.
Yeah, when they had to pin their ears back, they made plays against Jeff Sims and locked down the passing attack. Georgia Tech was put into predictable third down situations. I did feel that Georgia Tech looked pretty good from an offensive line perspective. Early on, they protected Sims, and they were able to run the football a couple of times early in the third quarter. But from the midway part of the third quarter on, once they became one-dimensional, that was it. And once the offense for Clemson actually extended the lead and Georgia Tech had a pass from behind, that was it. It was lights out. They're going to be there every step of the way. From a front seven perspective, they could shut down the run, and their third down defense over the past 8 to 10 seasons has been absolutely phenomenal, holding opposing offenses under 33% every step of the way. So that was where they came on. And again, at every level, right? It's just the linebackers to the secondary players. They're rarely out of position, and even without Brett Venables there calling the defense, they look legit. And they can run sideline to sideline with anybody. And when special teams come around, just the way they did, and you block not one but two kicks, you're going to be in every ball game, Ben.
Wes Goodwin, the new defensive coordinator for Clemson, had to be very pleased by what he saw with his Clemson defensive front last night. And, of course, we will continue to have the conversation around DJ Uiagalelei and, of course, Cade Klubnik as well. 4 of 6 for the outstanding freshman, 50 yards and a touchdown pass on his only drive of the game. Uiagalelei, Joe, we'll see how that progresses for DJU the rest of this way. I thought they brought up a very interesting point on the broadcast. Is this a Kelly Bryant, Trevor Lawrence situation where Trevor Lawrence was that guy just waiting for a small opportunity? Or is it Trevor Lawrence and DJ like we have seen in just a few years past where Trevor Lawrence clearly was that guy? DJU has all the talent to take over, but they have to wait his turn. We shall see how this progresses for Clemson the rest of the way. The Tigers, the odds-on favorites at minus 165, Joe, to win the ACC. They, of course, are the heavy favorites in the Atlantic Atlantic Division. But Lisa, you might have been onto something here about another team from the Atlantic within the ACC. Florida State, its first 2-0 start to any season since 2016, and it came in dramatic fashion on maybe the best game of this first full weekend, Joe, Sunday night in New Orleans between Florida State and LSU. An instant classic, Joe, that saw LSU drive down the field 99 yards with just over a minute left to score what would have been the game-tying touchdown as time expired, to only have the extra point try blocked by the Noles, and the Seminoles win 24-23. Joe, it was as electric, as exciting, as weird as any college football game as we will see to start off a season.
Oh, it was. And a couple of factors. I was impressed with Jordan Travis. He busted out for 260 yards. In the front seven of Florida State, they made LSU completely one-dimensional in the first half. But that's where Brian Kelly will be a benefit to the LSU Tigers. The adjustments, especially in the fourth quarter. You saw them move up tempo when they were down 24-10. Jaden Daniels got into a little bit of a rhythm, found Jarae Jenkins. He's going to be an absolute star. Everybody talks about Kayshon Booty, right? Two receptions, 23 yards. Jenkins is the guy that I think in a big spot is just unbelievable. Did it last year in games against A&M in Florida. He did it again Sunday night. This team, for me, Florida State, if they want to take the next level, they're going to have to be opportunistic. They can't get ahead of themselves. They're going to need Jordan Travis to develop a little bit more, get over 300. It's still 25 games now where Florida State is not thrown for over 300. You know, they have to learn how to put teams away and can't let them creep back in like they did Sunday night. But I'm still there. I said they were going to be an 8-win football team over the 6.5. They just need a couple of things to go their way for them to potentially be 10-2 or maybe even 11-1. Maybe they're back to the heydays of Bobby Bowden. You never know.
You never do know. It's a good start. We can say that at the very least, the best under Mike Norvell and the best, again, since the 2016 campaign. The first 2-0, just 2-0, but 2-0 unbeaten start for the Seminoles. And Joe, you mentioned it. Jordan Travis, sensational. 20-33, 260 through the air, and two touchdowns, adding on 31 with his legs. Jaden Daniels, the transfer from Arizona State, the starting QB for LSU, as good as advertised under Brian Kelly. 26-35, 209 through the air and two touchdowns, also added 114 yards on the ground and led LSU on that 99-yard drive with just a minute and 5 seconds remaining. If they could block a little bit better, Joe, on their extra point attempts, LSU might have won that football game. However, Florida State wins outright as a 3.5-point underdog. Both totals for the Noles this year stay under. Joe, speaking of blocked extra points or missed extra points, we saw that in a big way on this opening weekend of college football. NC State, East Carolina, the battle for the Tar Heel State in East Carolina. The Pirates storm back. They hold NC State nearly scoreless there through most of the second half, Joe, and they had an opportunity to tie the game at the very end in what was full drama, and it was 21-20, and the extra point was missed. NC State survives, Lisi. The 13th ranked team in the country starts off 1-0, and they had a lot of optimism entering this season. Speaking of teams that might be able to challenge Clemson in the Atlantic Division of the ACC, but it wasn't necessarily the best showing, as NC State does not cover, doesn't even come close to covering, as a 12.5-point favorite.
No, and they have struggles on the road. We talked about it in terms of the pregame. They're just now 6-11 over the last 3 years with that victory over East Carolina under Dave Doran. And they went toe-to-toe with East Carolina. They were on life support. I hate kickers. If I'm a coach, I'm never relying on a kicker to win a game. You just never know what you're going to get. 10-yarder? Right. They can miss a 5-yarder. I mean, they're so fickle. It's amazing. The kid misses an extra point to tie the ball game, and then a chip shot to give East Carolina the victory over a top 25 opponent. Can't seal the deal, but we knew about the struggles of NC State against East Carolina. East Carolina played them very tough in recent years. Go back in terms of the history. It's an interstate rivalry for the most part. Right. A lot of these kids are recruited against each other and went to local high school, so that's always a factor in terms of these so-called rivalry games, even though they're at a different conferences, right? I will say that red zone offense for NC State, atrocious. Devin Leary needs to clean it up. They jump out 14-7. They don't make any adjustments offensively, right, and they go cookie cutter in the second half, and that's why Islers and ECU was able to put up points. We'll see how it plays out, because they're going to need a better effort. If they couldn't move the football in the second half against ECU, how do you think they're going to do October 1st in Death Valley, where we know Clemson is 46-1 since 2015?
Under a minute and a half left in the first half, NC State takes a 21-7 lead. Things feel very good. They do not score in the final two quarters. Holton Allers was fantastic, Joe, for ECU against the Wolfpack, but ultimately unable to convert the win because of sloppy special teams. That game in Greenville, Joe, was sensational. A game in Boone between App State and North Carolina, also sensational. We saw so much there late in that ball game, but ultimately North Carolina wins 63-61 as App State fails on two-point conversions late in what was a wild game. The ACC barely, Joe, in the Tar Heel State survives in non-conference matchups to start off the season against Group of Five in-state opponents. Virginia Tech unable to say that with what we saw Friday night against Old Dominion. More of FFC up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We've been having some fun going around the country from week number one of college football. Some of the wackier, wilder, crazier games and results that we saw. Joe, now let's look at the most dominant performances. And I think first and foremost, we got to start with Georgia, the reigning national champs, in a top 15 tilt against 11th ranked Oregon. The number three dogs dominate from the very, very beginning, Joe. They beat Oregon 49-3. Easily cover as a 16.5 point favorite, and they scored on their opening seven drives of the game on every one of those first seven possessions. The Georgia Bulldogs, Joe, find the end zone to the tune of a 49-3 final score and victory for UGA. They certainly looked and lived up to the billing, Joe, of your reigning national champs.
Yeah, I'm so happy that Bo Nix and Dan Lanning were on the other side Saturday afternoon in Atlanta, because that really made the difference. Can you imagine if they weren't on the sidelines? That's all I heard all week was Dan Lanning, Bo Nix, right? And we talked about it in terms of the pregame. Bo Nix never stepped up against Georgia. And that's not to take away from Bo Nix in terms of being a good football player, but him challenging that Kirby Smart defense just wasn't going to happen. This game still was one in the trenches. Now, Stetson Bennett stepped up with a 300-yard performance, but he wasn't touched for a majority of the first half. That was the main reason why Stetson Bennett had time to locate those wide receivers. Thought the game plan was phenomenal. We come out passing. They're thinking run. We come out passing. We establish a lead, rely on our front seven to get pressure, and that secondary turned over Bo Nix twice in the matchup for them to just build out a 28-3 first half lead for the most part, and then they just never took a look back, right? The defense took over. The running game came back with Milton and obviously McIntosh in the second half, and then that was it. Georgia cruises. They are the team to beat in the SEC East. If they could develop on the defensive side of the ball a little bit more, get those younger players more experience, they're going to be right there with Alabama. We said it before. These are the two best teams, head and shoulders above the rest in terms of the SEC, and we'll see how it plays out, because from an offensive, defensive line perspective, I said it, Kirby Smart recruits just like Nick Saban. He gets those big uglies on both sides of the ball.
I mean, you saw guys like Jalen Carter out there, Keely Ringo back from that defensive team last year that won a national championship, Tyke Smith. A lot of these guys, Joe, that we still saw despite the mass loss of talent, obviously, that Georgia suffered at the end of last year. But the defense still held up to its end of the bargain, only allowing Oregon to score 3 points, and we know about road Bo Nix. It wasn't a true road game. It was in Atlanta, a neutral site game, but heavily, heavily favoring Georgia in terms of the crowd. And Bo Nix, 21 of 37, 173 yards and two interceptions. Meanwhile, Joe, on the other side, Stetson Bennett,
25 of 31, 361 yards, 2 passing touchdowns. Stetson Bennett has taken some flack at times because he is not the most noteworthy or star-studded quarterback, especially in comparison to that Georgia defense last year that was the reason the Dogs won a national championship. Well, Stetson Bennett entered the year with 100-1 odds to win the Heisman Trophy. After his week one performance, Joe, that is down to 20-1. The defense holds Oregon to only 3 points, and Stetson Bennett plays at that level, Lisi. I agree with the fact that Georgia is certainly going to factor in to any race. SEC East, of course, they are the heavy, heavy odds-on favorites. Still another appearance in the SEC Championship game, most likely against Alabama. And Lisi, we saw their odds for UGA to make the college football playoff improve from minus 160 to now minus 300 following week number one.
Now, it's the overreaction, right? Each and every week now, the ebbs and flows of the gambling market. Oh, Georgia sucks. Oregon's going to be in this game. They got blown out. No, Georgia's the best. We're going to see this every week. It's just what happens. But I agree with you. I think Stetson Bennett, you have to be on a contender, right? If we're looking at dark horses in terms of the Heisman Trophy, it's got to be players that are going to have their teams within contention for a national championship or, more importantly, the college football playoff, right? That's where really where it comes down to. And when you look at Stetson Bennett, we know about the defense. If they don't run the ball and Stetson Bennett throws for 35 plus touchdowns, knocks off Bryce Young in the SEC championship game, he's got the it factor, right? He won a national championship last year. And even though he stepped up on a big play stage, it was the defense that really won that ball game or gets notoriety over. Yeah. So now we always talk about the body of work for a Heisman Trophy finalist. It's not just one year, it's typically 2 and 3 years. That's what it was for Lamar Jackson. He elevated to that level in terms of where he was just able to hoist the hardware on an underachieving 8-5 team. So I agree with you. I think he's got great value. If you're looking 25-1, along with Will Anderson, a defensive player, right? We look for players outside the top three. But my guy, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, he's the guy that went from 100-1 to 60-1. I'm still sticking with him and Hendon Hooker right now.
I think that value is certainly there. Georgia, the second best odds at plus 115 to win the SEC. Alabama, the favorites at minus 125. But their gap between those two prices shorter following week number one than it was in the preseason when Bama was minus 140 and UGA was plus 160. Alabama making easy work of Utah State, winning 55-0. The largest margin of victory for Nick Saban during his time with the Tide. He's a perfect 16-0 straight up in season opening games and 15-1 against the spread. But Lisi, entering the season, it was A&M with the third best price to win the SEC. That team now, the Florida Gators, 25-1 after an upset slightly in the Swamp. UF winning outright as 2.5-point underdogs against Utah, Joe. We had high expectations for the Utah Utes, ranked 7th in the country entering that matchup. Every market optimistic about Utah. National championship, college football playoff, Pac-12, even the line specifically against the Gators, Joe, flipping from Utah opening as a road dog to a 2.5-point road favorite by the time we got the kick. But it was Anthony Richardson and his athletic ability on full display. Play, the Gators win outright as a 2.5-point underdog.
Yeah, great game. And you know, it's like eerily similar to the Super Bowl where Russell Wilson and Marshawn Lynch just give Lynch the ball, right? Why did they opt to pass right there? And when you have Tavion Thomas and that rushing attack, right? That
no
was
idea.
A call that Kyle Whittingham has to live with, I think, in terms of the rest of the season, depending upon how it progresses. Now, I will say the fact that it was a close game, the fact that it went down to a goal line stand, Utah, if they continue their intensity and focus, if they run the table, become 11-1, I don't think the loss will hurt them as much, depending upon what Florida is at the end of the year. Florida's 9-3. You got to say, hey, it wasn't a bad road loss in terms of week one, and they lost by three. That being said, Anthony Richardson is a dynamic playmaker. What he rushed for, 108 yards on the ground, buck 80 through the air, 3 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. His athleticism was the difference. We talk about Utah typically struggling with speed teams. Well, that was a speed team now. Billy Napier did a fantastic job. They're going to be a threat if they maintain the consistency. That's the biggest thing. They have a very difficult matchup against Kentucky. Kentucky's won two of the last four against the Gators, even though the Gators blew them out 2 years ago, 34-10 in Gainesville. This is still a team that could play defense. So we'll see how they look this week. Can they maintain their focus? Because they can't get high on themselves, especially with a first-year head coach. They need to carry this thing through if the Gators are going to be a legitimate threat in the East for Billy Napier. But a great game, great job, and both teams are still in it, right? I mean, Utah's not out of it. They just have to really run the table at this point.
It just takes away the margin of error, Joe. That's really what happens here for Utah. They have no other wiggle room if they are going to be a college football playoff team. They could still win the Pac-12, but if Utah wins the Pac-12 with two losses, that takes away any hope of any Pac-12 team getting back to the college football playoff. And, of course, the Pac-12 hasn't appeared in the college football playoff since 2016. Joe, you bring up a great point about maybe not running the ball with Tavion Thomas. I don't know why they didn't. He ran for 115 yards and a touchdown in that game against Florida. Joe, as we continue to dive around the country here, we look at Florida this week, a 5.5-point home favorite against Kentucky. That will be a great test within the SEC East. Texas, we know, is a 20.5-point favorite now. The line continuing to working in Alabama's favor, on the road against Texas. Joe, one of the biggest marquee matchups of week number one happened in Columbus. Inside the Shoe, Ohio State hosting Notre Dame. A top five tilt, Joe, that we had our questions about in terms of the ranking perspective entering that game, but it actually looked like a top five game. Notre Dame was very impressive covering as a 16.5-point favorite against the Buckeyes, but it was that Ohio State defense, Joe, that impressed me the most.
Yeah, and Marcus Freeman played it exactly right. We never thought that Buckner could get into a shootout or a wide-open game with C.J. Stroud. They had to force him to methodically work down the field, read coverage, take underneath throws, and be patient. And they did that for much of the first half, right? But he did break out in terms of the passing touchdown right before the start of the fourth quarter. That put them up 14-10. And then Buckner could not make plays, and Jim Knowles' defense did get quarterback pressures when the game was on the line. Let's not forget Oklahoma State was one of the top teams in terms of sack totals last year with 56, one of the top three in terms of all of college football. So if they can continue to develop in terms of Ohio State, they're going to be there. I'm not, let's say, not impressed by Ohio State's performance. I thought Marcus Freeman needed to do that. You give a defensive-minded head coach 6 months of prep. That's exactly what I expected out of the Irish. They were able to run the football, but halftime adjustments took over, and that's where Marcus Freeman still is weak, Ben. He didn't do it against Oklahoma State, didn't really do it on Saturday night, but they're both going to be there in the end.
20 plays Notre Dame ran in the second half. Four possessions, all resulting in a punt for about 71 yards of total offense in the second half against Ohio State. The Buckeyes were glorious when it mattered most. We go to the NFL up next here on Football Full Circle on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are back on FFC, just 2 days away from the start of the 2022 NFL regular season, where last season ended, SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles, where during Super Bowl 56, the Rams emerged victorious on their own home field as the Super Bowl champs. Now, they will host the preseason Super Bowl favorites, the Buffalo Bills. And Lisey, the Lions continue to work in favor of Buffalo all offseason long. Every market has been optimistic around those Buffalo Bills and circling the wagons this year. They're now laying 2.5 points on the road in Los Angeles. Where do you think this line might end up?
I don't think it goes up to 3 for the Buffalo Bills. I think it might settle down and maybe 1.5, 2 in that area. I think you're going to see L.A. Ram money come in as we inch closer to game time. You know, depending upon if we can get a status report on Stafford, is the elbow okay? But I love Buffalo. I think they're the most complete team heading into the season, but we're still talking about the defending champs, Super Bowl night. The place is going to be packed, and a home dog week one in terms of the NFL. well, I don't think he gets up to a key number at three. So we'll see how it plays out. I mean, it's going to be an intriguing battle because I want to see how Buffalo handles the intensity. I want to see how they manhandle or try to manhandle Aaron Donald in the middle in terms of that matchup from an offensive line perspective.
Yeah, and that will be one of the big keys that we have. We already have some props out for that game, Lisey. Right now, week number one and the season opener between Buffalo and Pittsburgh. Josh Allen's passing yards prop, 274 in a hook. Matthew Stafford, 270.5. Both players slotted to throw 1.5 touchdowns as of right now, but the over has the heavy, heavy juice in that case. And Joe, we remember Cooper Kupp from last year, the Triple Crown winner, leading the league in receptions, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns. 93.5 is the number for Cooper. It might seem lofty to start off the year, but they had to book that at like 108.5, Joe, by the time we got to the end of the season because of how often Cooper Kupp was going over his receiving yards prop. We'll get to that and plenty more throughout this week here in week number one. But Lisey, some official news today for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mitchell Trubisky has been named the week one starter for the Steelers against the Bengals. It will be Mitchell Trubisky, not Kenny Pickett, out there under center for the Steelers week number one. Joe, we all expected that really to be the case, but now it is official.
Thankfully, a minus 172. Hopefully, I just need Trubisky to get the first snap in. That's all I'm asking for right now. That's what we actually thought, right? You know, that you can't go into this season in terms of with so many question marks, offensively and defensively, and to lead this team to the playoffs, you have to start the year with Mitch Trubisky. If he fails, you have the fail-safe plan and the backup plan with Kenny Pickett. You could throw him in there without the expectations, but at the end of the day, you got to give the reins to Mitch Trubisky. He didn't do anything in terms of the preseason that allowed you to say, oh yeah, Kenny Pickett's definitely head and shoulders above where Mitch is right here, right now. The offensive line's a concern. Both players are mobile. Mitch is more experienced. They're going up against a team that absolutely abused them 41-10 the last time they played on the road. And this is a team that actually represented the AFC in terms of the Super Bowl, in terms of Cincinnati and Joe Burrow. Of course, you got to go with Mitch Trubisky. Just happy that now it's finalized and now we could just get to week number one here.
Yeah, and that will be the case for Pittsburgh, where they are a 6.5-point road underdog against the Bengals. Interesting, Joe. A 6.5-point road underdog against Cincinnati. People keep forgetting about the Bengals. They're nearly a touchdown favorite against a divisional opponent. Joe Burrow is back. Joe Burrow is healthy. They improved along the offensive line. Keep an eye on Cincinnati, Lisey, certainly in that AFC North.
Oh, without a doubt. And, you know, Joe Burrow is the quarterback that makes everybody around him better. We talked about in terms of, is this a potential dynasty to challenge Kansas City, right? There was no drop-off with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid once they made it to the Super Bowl and won or got to the AFC Championship game, right? That's the hope for Cincinnati and Joe Burrow. A lot of people just saying, they're a one-hit wonder. It's one and done, and they're going to fall back to mediocrity because it's a losing organization. I don't buy that. They have winners in that program, players like Joe Mixon that played at Oklahoma, players like Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow, T. Higgins. You know, there are players there that understand the winning culture now. Now, if Zach Taylor can elevate his game and progress this year, because I'm not high on him, but if he can progress and lead this team offensively, they're going to be right there as a team to beat with Buffalo, in my opinion.
And Cincy right now, minus 134, Joe, to make the postseason, the seventh best odds within the AFC, which that number seven, important from the postseason perspective, because it's seven teams now that make the AFC playoffs. We have the four divisional champs and, of course, the three wildcard spots at well. Focusing on quarterbacks, Joe, within the AFC North, Lamar Jackson continues his contract conversations with the Baltimore Ravens. He will not sign an extension, it seems, Joe, before the regular season starts for Baltimore. But John Harbaugh has reiterated Lamar is locked in. Lamar has said much of the same. The Ravens open the season on the road against the New York Jets. Right now, Joe, the flock, nearly a touchdown favorite, laying 6.5. But here's the interesting thing, not from the Baltimore perspective, but that of the New York Jets. Robert Saleh, the head coach for New York yesterday, saying, Joe, that there is a potential that
Zach Wilson might be ready to go, might be ready to start week number one after suffering the torn meniscus in that first preseason game for the Jets. A 6.5-point dog right now at home, Joe. What do you think the Jets should do? If Zach Wilson is healthy, should he be out there?
Well, what's healthy? Is he 95% healthy or he's got full clearance to go out there? I mean, if it's a risk, I think it's a terrible choice for the New York Jets. I think if the doctors double check and triple check and say there's no tear, the meniscus looks good, he can go out there, then then you roll him out, right? He's the reason and the number two overall draft pick. He's the face of the franchise. He's the reason why you're putting all of your hopes into the season because of Zach Wilson. I will say that if we're talking Zach Wilson can't play, I still think they go to Mike White over Joe Flacco. But if Wilson plays, I still don't think it matters. I think Baltimore's defense is the reason why they pulled this ball game out. They force defensive turnovers. I think the rushing attack Jets won't be able to solve. And I think Lamar Jackson could bust out for maybe a 3 or a 4 touchdown performance in this ball game. We'll see how this offense looks. But I just don't think the Jets, from a defensive perspective, can shut down Lamar in the rushing attack. And that's why I favor Baltimore. Not a best selection this weekend, but I still lean to Baltimore early on in the week here.
Lisey, last year Lamar Jackson only played 12 games, injured through most of that year, and Baltimore won 8 of their 17, an 8-9 record for the Ravens last year. It snapped a streak, Joe, of 3 straight seasons of at least 10 wins, double-digit victories from 2018 all the way through 2020 when Lamar Jackson came in to be their leading passer at the end of that 2018 season. So it's interesting when you have all of that into perspective and the hope for Baltimore in a bounce back season. And I expect that for the Ravens. I do believe the Bengals and the Ravens will be battling it out for that top spot in the AFC North this season. And that being said, Joe, the reason that you highlighted, I think Baltimore's defense is going to be much improved, completely decimated by injury, especially in the secondary last year. All indications out of camp for Baltimore, they're healthy and they're ready to go. Pay attention to the Baltimore Ravens starting off the 2022 NFL campaign. So those are some of the games, Joe, that we have for week number one of this NFL season. We'll look at a ton more throughout this week, Lisey. But one of the largest spreads, the Indianapolis Colts, a 7.5-point road favorite on the road, taking on the Houston Texans. In fact, right now it is the biggest number as we get ready for week number one in the start of the regular season. Lisey, is that spread too big in favor of Indy? What should we expect out of the odds-on favorites to win the AFC South?
Well, I mean, I think they should be able to win this game. I don't expect Houston to be in this ballgame. I'm not sold on Davis Mills. I'm not sold on Lovie Smith. And I know Damian Pierce has stepped up, rookie of the year candidate in terms of the preseason. But I don't know if Houston's going to be able to run on the front seven of Indianapolis. Am I in love with Indianapolis in terms of being the best team in the division? No, I'm not. I think Tennessee is the most complete team, even though obviously A.J. Brown is on Philadelphia. I like Treylon Burks. I like Derrick Henry. And that front seven to me is more impressive than Indianapolis, but the front, the offensive line of Indianapolis should be able to wear down Houston at the point of attack. They should be able to run at will on them. So I lean to Indianapolis here, but I lean to the under as well. I don't know if we're going to see a shootout with Matt Ryan and obviously Davis Mills. I think people might think that because of the defenses involved of Houston, but I think Indianapolis takes a ground and pound approach. They can win this ballgame maybe 21-10 and get out of Dodge with a victory and a cover.
The second worst the second worst total defense in the league a season ago. That was the Houston Texans with the second worst rushing defense, giving up over 142 yards per game, Joe. When those props come out, I will certainly be looking at Jonathan Taylor. Yes, the number is going to be lofty, as one would expect, but it still might be an area for a little bit of juice on JT. Joe, the first Sunday night football game of the year is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers visiting the Dallas Cowboys. It's the second straight season the Bucs and the boys have opened up the year against each other. Tampa winning by just 2 points against the Cowboys last year when Tampa was booked, Joe, by the time we got the kick, around an 8.5-9-point favorite. Now laying just 2.5 on the road. What's your approach to that game between Tampa and Dallas?
Yeah, I was on Dallas last year, plus the high number, 8.5, you know, went down to the wire, and they missed a field goal, no good, and Tampa prevails, they win by 2. Now they're laying 2.5. I mean, this is a fishy line to me, because I think it's sucking you into taking Dallas here, you know, as a home dog, but I'm not going to do it. I think as much as I like Dallas in terms of the division, I like Tolbert, their big play wide receiver, I think I'm going to be over his total in this ballgame. I got to take Tom Brady on the road, laying less than a touch down, less than a field goal, a key number. I'm going to lay it with Tampa Bay. I don't love it, but I would lay it because it's a short number in terms of a game that they went toe-to-toe last year. I'm going to lay it with the Buccaneers.
Laying it with Tampa on the road against the Cowboys. A big total, Lisi, as well. 51 for that over-under. It is one of the higher totals of this opening week of NFL football. One game on Thursday, 2 days from right now. The champs, the Rams, hosting the presumed champs, or at least the favorites to win it this year, in the Buffalo Bills. That is tied for the second highest total, Joe, at 52.5, alongside the Raiders and the Chargers. The highest total of the weekend is KC on the road in the desert against Arizona. 53.5, Joe, is that number between the Cardinals and the Chiefs. It's a big one, but that should show an expectation of points between KC and Arizona.
Yeah, you got to believe that Murray and Mahomes are going to chuck it right. Maybe 100 times in this ballgame combined, 50 each. I mean, it wouldn't shock me in terms of 53.5. Laying 5.5. I sort of like Arizona here as a home dog. I really do. I think, you know, people are looking at Mahomes. We think about the inconsistency of Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray, but they have started fast in recent years. You're going to give me 5.5 points. I'll take the home dog in this matchup.
5.5 in favor of Kansas City, a team that has been booked as a favorite in 2 consecutive regular seasons. What do I mean by that? By every game in 2 straight regular seasons, 16 in 2020 and all 17 last year as well, including all 3 of their postseason games, even in that AFC title when the Bengals won as the dog. We'll wrap up the show here on FFC up next on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is football time. Truly, it is football time. Week 1 of the college football season now officially in the books. Some great games on the slate for week number 2. And speaking of 2, we are just over 48 hours away from the start of the 2022 NFL regular season. Lisi, let's focus on week 2 of college football to end out this show. We mentioned it very briefly early on. Alabama takes care of business, as they often do in season openers. Texas takes care of business as well in its season opener. Both teams cover, Lisi. And this week, on Saturday at noon Eastern time in Austin, the Longhorns host the Tide. And Alabama, Joe, is nearly a 3-touchdown favorite, laying 20.5 on the road for brunch time in Austin. The line, Lisi, entering week 1 was 17.5 in Alabama. It opened at 15 in favor of Alabama. Now it's 20.5 in favor of the Tide. Is Alabama going to blow out Texas on Saturday?
I can't see any reason why not. They're 32-5 since 2017 on the road or on a neutral field site straight up. I mean, we talked about it. We thought this total would be in the 80s. It's 64.5, Ben. At minus 110 either way. I'm jumping on the over. It's either Alabama or bust. I can't take Texas. I was on Utah State. I was dead wrong. I actually covered myself catching 55.5, covered by a thread in terms of that ball game. They lose 55-0. So it's Alabama or bust. I need to see Texas stop the run. They didn't do it last year. I think Jamar Gibbs breaks out with a huge performance. And how is Texas going to answer for Will Anderson? You tell me. It's over 64.5. That's my best bet in this ballgame.
I don't know if anybody has an answer for Will Anderson. In fact, Alabama during spring practice did not. They kept him out, Joe, to save their own offensive line. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. We'll be here all week on Football Full Circle. Sure, summer might be over. Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened, and get ready for football as well. The Money Line right here on Sports Grid Radio is up next.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.